Lamadalam and Aleph, the Gemara is continuing its discussion of mitzvahs aseh shehas man gromo. Women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs. Why is that? Now, of course, we can speculate as to the reasons for the mitzvahs. Not necessarily binding, whatever speculation we come up with. But the Rishonim seem to echo one another with regards to this issue. The Avudraham has a certain explanation for this phenomenon, that women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs, that is found also in the Kolboy, as well as in the Tashbetz. And that it is because women have other obligations. They have obligations in terms of raising their children, in terms of taking care of their husbands, and therefore they are not necessarily free whenever, free at a drop of a hat to go and perform a mitzvah that all of a sudden comes mizman lizman. If it's a mitzvah that's on a regular basis, so the assumption is that she can budget it into her schedule. But if it comes mizman lizman, it's something that's a mitzvah aseh shehas man gromo, the women don't necessarily have the ability to stop whatever they're doing or to pause their other responsibilities to stop and perform the mitzvah. And that's the reason that is offered by the Avudraham over here in Seder HaTfilo Shalchol. V'atam sh'nifter anash mitzvah aseh shehas man gromo fisha isha meshubedes l'baila l'asos tzerachot. She has obligations to the home. I don't think necessarily means to her husband particularly, but it means to the home. A need in the house, one of our obligations is going to arise. She won't be able to perform the mitzvah. I assume if it's not Zman Grama, then it's something that's already scheduled in. If she's going to not take care of that responsibility that she has in her home, then her home will suffer. If she's going to continue to do her obligations to the home and neglect the mitzvah of Kadosh Baruch Hu, is commanding her to perform, so then she'll offend HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu exempted her from these mitzvahs that come from time to time in order so that she'll be able to take care of her responsibilities in the home. And I think that this is probably based, it's my own conjecture, assumption, based on the Gemara loosely and the Gemara Lamed Amud Beis, where the Gemara told us with regards to Kibud Aviyim, commenting on the pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim, Ish Imoy Vaviv Tirou, the pasuk singles out men for the mitzvah of Kibud Aviyim, but yet in the conclusion of the pasuk is in the plural, Tirou, Harei Kan Shnayim, says the Gemara, includes both men and women. So why does the Torah begin by singling out the men? Ish Sipik Biyodo Lasos, Isha Ein Sipik Biyodo Lasos. That man has the ability to perform Kibud Aviyim because he has a latitude, his schedule is his own schedule, so he can perform Kibud Aviyim, he's not meshubet to anybody else. Whereas a woman has shibudim, obligations to her husband, to her children, to the household, and if she's not always free to stop everything and neglect her other responsibilities in the house to go and perform Kibud Aviyim for her parents. So the Gemara says when she's married, technically she's exempt from Kibud Aviyim. We mentioned the husband can free her from the obligations of the home. He can chip in and allow her to do Kibud Aviyim, which is the right thing to do, but technically speaking, the woman is pater when she's married. She's pater from Kibud Aviyim because she has responsibilities in the home. If that is the nature of Kibud Aviyim, the reason why women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs, the Mefarshim explain perhaps other related issues. One might be, back on Tosis that we mentioned, the Chavtesim at Aleph, where the Gemara is discussing a woman's exemption from performing milah on her sons. The Gemara learned it out of a pasuk, Kasher Tziva Oisai Elohim, like a Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded Avram Avinu regarding the milah of Yitzchak. Oisai Veloy Oisai, he was commanded and not her. So Frektais is a Kash over there, Oisai Veloy Oisai. Vim Toima, Lamali Kro, typically the mitzvah say she has my Gramahu. Why do I need a special Zeris HaKosov to exempt women from performing milah on their son? Either way, it's a mitzvah aseh shehas man gromo. We could rely on that old rule that women are exempt from all time-bound mitzvahs, which is found in that very same Mishnah. So why do we need Gzeiras HaKosev to tell she's potter from Mila? Mila itself should have been the height, the prime example of a mitzvah aseh shehas man gromo. It's only performed, or ideally performed, on the eighth day. It sounds like it depends, the mitzvah that comes from time to time, not constantly, something that always applies. So Tarsus kvetched in and said, it's really not a mitzvah aseh shehas man gromo, because once the eighth day comes, so then it continues to operate both by day and by night, according to one opinion in the Gemara. So therefore Tarsus said, maybe it's not a mitzvah aseh shehas man gromo after all. And that's why we needed Xeris HaKosov, Oisai V'loy Oisai. Or you might remember we discussed at the time when we first discussed this, the Ramban says that this is all the rule of mitzvah seisha as my grandma, women are exempt. There's only those mitzvahs that are incumbent upon her to fulfill for herself. Here, the obligation of the father is in order to do milah on the son, but it's really not his independent mitzvah. So too, if it would apply to woman, it wouldn't be her independent mitzvah to perform it on herself. It would be an obligation to do milah on the son. The rule of mitzvah seisha as my grandma, time-bound mitzvah, only exempts the woman if it's a mitzvah that's for her kiyum, her fulfillment. But to perform milah on the son wouldn't necessarily fall under the same rule as Torah, the exemption of mitzvah seisha as my grandma. However, the Pnei Yeshua throws in his 2 cents over here that perhaps, the reason why we didn't fall back on the exemption of mitzvah seisha as my grandma and we required exeris akasav aysay v'lo yaysah is because when can we exempt women from a time-bound mitzvah is when the mitzvah has to be performed by her, herself. She can't appoint the shliach to do it. Why? Because then she can't necessarily drop everything, her obligations in the house, and go and perform this mitzvah that all of a sudden, popped up, appeared on the scene, appeared on her radar, on her, to-do list. If it's always there, she's accustomed to it. But if it's just something appears now, so then she can't drop everything to go do it. That says the Pnei Yeshua, if the mitzvah entails or requires that she do it herself. But if she could appoint a shliach to do it, so why should she be exempt from time-bound mitzvah? So even if, yes, it is a time-bound mitzvah. Let's say the mitzvah meal would have been a time, is a time-bound mitzvah, not like Tosfos. It is a time-bound mitzvah, and it could be incumbent upon her to do it, not like the Ramban, that it's only a mitzvah to do it for the son, not necessarily to do it for herself. It could be her mitzvah. It could be the father's mitzvah, a possibility we discussed. Maybe it's the father's mitzvah, the mother's mitzvah to do milah on the son. At the same time, she could appoint a shliach. We discussed that already. You could appoint a shliach for milah. So if that's the case, so says the Pnei Yeshua, there's no reason to exempt her, even if it is time-bound, because you could just appoint somebody else to do it. The whole reason women are exempt in the first place is she can't necessarily drop everything to go do this mitzvah that just popped up. But if it's, she could appoint a shliach, so what? Why should she be exempt? Yeah.
But, are we talking about she has to do the mitzvah or the things in the house? The mitzvah?
No, the mitzvah. The things around the house, we're not doing that. No one had help in those days.
Even if it's true that she can actually do it for her, why would we create a construct in which the only way you do the performance
by shliachu? I assume what the Avud Raham means is not every single time she's never going to be able. She's so busy, she's never going to be able to perform time by mitzvahs. No, what it means is she might run into a conflict. So on those instances where you run into a conflict, the point of the shliach.
Oh, it's not really.
I don't think it means she's constantly busy yom and v'layla what is she? She's not working day and night in the house. She had no free time. As soon as she has free time, what it means is a conflict could arise. So if a conflict arises, appoint a shliach. So, but the only reason to exempt her would be if she requires that she do it herself. Oh, but here you could, because then she can't necessarily drop everything to do this. But if, and something's going to suffer, either her house or her religious life. So we don't want to create that conflict, so the Torah exempted her from mitzvah seisha as mangro. But says the Pnei Yeshua, if you could appoint a shliach, then why should that apply? So that's why the Gemara over here, that's the answer to Tosfos' question. The Gemara needed exeris hakasav to exempt women. Why not just say she's exempt because of time-bound mitzvah? Because here that rule would not necessarily apply. Or the Minchas Chinuch applies this rule, the Pnei Yeshua as well, Masechet Hasbeah applies this rule to a different issue. And that is with regards to... With regards to Tosefes Yom Kippur, is a mitzvah saseh to be moisef mechal el hakodesh. Is a machlekes if that applies to Shabbos. Most Rishonim extend it from Yom Kippur to Shabbos, but the mitzvah of Tosefes, what we call Tosefes Shabbos, really originates by Yom Kippur, because the pasuk says, "Batisha lachodesh v'ini semes nafsoi shem batisha lachodesh may erev ad erev, from night to night." So the Gemara darshins in Maseches Yuma on Daf Pei Aleph. That, what do you mean, batisha lachaydish? Rechi batisha mesanin, that there's a person fast on the 9th? So says the Gemara, no, what it means is, it's a mitzvah lahaysef mechal al hakaydish. It's a mitzvah to add on to the kedusha of Yom Kippur, which is really only may erev ad erev, it's from night to night. But there's a mitzvah to be moisef mechal al hakaydish already from the 9th of Trey to add on. Most Rishonim assume that concept extends to Shabbos too. Whenever you have a Zman of Kodesh, there's a mitzvah to be Moisef Mechol al HaKodesh, but not everybody extends it. The Rambam feels it's just halacha by Yom Kippur. It doesn't apply to Shabbos. Midrabbanan, there's a concept of Tosefes Shabbos, but not Midrash. So there's a mitzvah la'hayitz of mechala la'kodesh. So why should woman necessarily be chayiv in this mitzvah la'hayitz of mechala la'kodesh? No one ever heard that women are potter from the mitzvah of Tosefes Yom Kippurim, Tosefes Shabbos. Why should women be obligated in this mitzvah? It's not what we'll see. The Gemara lists those mitzvahs aseish, as my grandmother, women are exempt from. One of them is not Tosefes Yom Kippur. Why aren't women exempt from Tosefes Yom Kippur? Shouldn't that be a classical mitzvah saseish as my grandma, a time-bound mitzvah, a mitzvah that only comes from time to time? So the Pnei Yeshua, Masech Lizbeah, Daf Lamed, again, says a similar idea, and that is, whenever the mitzvah entails being passive, so how does this disrupt your schedule? L'hoisef mechala l'kodesh, you have to drop something, you know, this is going to create a conflict for you, we're not going to be able to do the responsibilities of the house because the mitzvah entails you to do a certain activity. Here, the mitzvah is remain passive. Sit at home and do nothing. How could that create a conflict? So since the mitzvah is one of Sheva al Taseh, so says the Pnei Yeshua, so then there is no conflict. That's why women are chayiv. Even though Tosefes Yom Kippurim, L'hoisef mechala l'kodesh, this should have been a classical mitzvah, say as my grandma, women are indeed chayiv. Or the Minchas Chinuch applies a similar rule by Shemitah, that some of the laws of Shemitah are included in the prohibitions of working the land during the Shnas HaShemitah, but some are only a violation of the Mitzvah Saseh of Shnas Shabbos and Yel Haaretz. Like, you're not allowed to plow the fields. Plowing the fields is not part of, you know, one of the Isurim of working the fields during the Shnas HaShemitah. Just plowing the field is only a violation of the Saseh of Shnas Shabbos and Yel Haaretz. It says the Minchas Chinuch, why are women obligated? It's only something that comes once every 7 years. So again, the Minchas Chinuch says, because here is to be passive. How could not plowing the field create a conflict for you? It can't. Remaining passive doesn't create conflicts. So says the Minchas Chinuch, again, since the whole reason that women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs in the first place is to avoid those, you know, so they shouldn't have these unavoidable conflicts where they have to choose between the obligations of the home and the religious obligations. So in order to create, the, you know, the, to not have that such a conflict, so the Torah exempted it from time-bound mitzvahs. That's how the Abu Jaham explains it. Says the Pnei Yeshua, says the Minchas Chinuch, if all you have to do is be passive, so then there is no conflict, women indeed would be chayiv. Yeah.
If that's the reason why women are not chayiv, yeah, time-bound mitzvahs, why something like tzitzis, which is mitzvah cessation, is my grandma, then why are they not chayiv? It doesn't seem like that's something that's going to take them away from...
Why does it not take you away? Tzitzis takes time. You have to go and put on tzitzis and talus and this and that. It takes time. Yeah.
So why didn't the Gemara just make the criteria for when you cut their passive, not passive? But they worded it in.
Because it's more broad than passive versus... It's more broad than that.
Include passive mitzvahs, I guess. This was just one grammar. Include passive mitzvahs as well as other things.
I don't follow. I mean, what
so,
are you asking?
I'm saying, like, the Minchas Chinuch...
Right.
Is writing that all of the passive mitzvahs should not be. She should
because the whole reason they are exempt from time bound mitzvahs, says Abu Draham, is because it's going to create a conflict, which she's not used to. So, because it's something that only happens once in a while. So, since it's going to create a, you know, conflict, she's going to have to go hear Shofar. But she has little kids at home. How's she going to go hear Shofar? Something's going to suffer. We don't want her to create that conflict in her life. But if it's just sitting at home and not doing malacha, Erev Yom Kippur, there's no conflict involved in that. She doesn't have to leave the house. Yeah.
Were you saying that this reason brought by the Vudraham is something that's timeless, or it's just for that specific generation?
That's the reason that's offered by the Vudraham and by the Kobo. We don't discuss other times, so, you know, judging Torah from our social, you know, the social norms of today, we wouldn't impose what is considered to be, you know, politically correct today on the values, timeless values of the Torah. At the same time, I don't know if the argument of the Vudraham, even if it might, you know, grate against politically correct sensitivities, I don't know if that's, I think it does reflect the true reality, and that is that there are obligations of the home, and, you know, nothing to do with one person being subservient, or, you know, there are obligations of the home, which simply cannot be performed if everybody's going to have to go hear Shofar and Shul. I mean, you just won't, if you have little kids at home that cry, who's going to watch the kids while you're hearing Kiyas Shofar? So I think that there is, that conflict definitely exists, and that could be the reason why women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs, to avoid that conflict. However, I don't find, not me, but others argue with the reason of the Vudraham and that of the Kobo, that it doesn't seem to cover all of its bases, because where's this argument coming from? Again, from my own assessment, it's coming from a similar argument of the Gemara Lamed Amud Beis with regards to Kibud Aviyim. that women are exempt from kibbutz aviyim once they become married, because she's going to have, a conflict between taking care of her parents and taking care of her own household. Whereas the husband is not necessarily as involved in the obligations of his household, he's still, therefore he's more free to perform kibbutz aviyim to take care of his parents. However, when does that patur, when does that exemption kick in? When she gets married. So you see, we can make such distinctions between married woman and single woman. It exists by kibbutz aviyim. So if the reason of the avudraham, or the kobo, is why a woman exempt from time-bound mitzvahs, because it's going to create a conflict between the obligations of their own home and the obligation, religious obligations, so say it's only by married woman. And don't tell me we can't, it's a loy plug, we can't make such distinctions. We can, and we do. Where do we make such a distinction with regards to kibbutz aviyim? It's only by married woman, not by single woman. So if we make such a distinction by kibbutz aviyim, we don't say loy plug, all women are exempt from kibbutz aviyim because married women will have a conflict to take care of their own house, or take care of their parents. So let's make a similar distinction by all time-bound mitzvahs. Moreover, I think the argument of Avudraham has its difficulties, because of our Gemara over here on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. The Gemara lists for us what are the mitzvahs, you know, bottom line, well, there's this famous rule, time-bound mitzvahs women are exempt from, bottom line, how many are there? How many are there? How many mitzvahs are we talking about? Let's put it all on the table. What are they? Ezo mitzvah seh shez ma'an groma. Sukkah, okay. Lulav, shofar. Chodesh Tishrei, okay. Sukkah, lulav, shofar. Tzitzis, tefillin. How many is that?
Five.
We also have Kriya Shema. It's found in Gemara Brachas. Kriya Shema, even though it applies by day and by night, but it's limited either to the third hour. You can only recite Kriya Shema in the morning till the third hour. Or even if it, even if you can midday rise and recite all day, it's a, perhaps it's a different mitzvah by day and by night. There are two separate mitzvahs, chalois mitzvahs of Kriya Shema. Okay. So bottom line, how many mitzvahs do we have women are exempt from? Safako. How many time-bound mitzvahs are there? Maybe Sfiras HaEmer too. We'll throw in three as Sfiras HaEmer. How many do we have? We'll get to that in a second. Not so pushy. How many mitzvahs do we have women are exempt from? Seven. Seven. This whole thing for seven mitzvahs. How? But there are exceptions to the rule. The Gemara continues. Ve'ez mitzvah seh shaloy ez ma'an groma. The Gemara lists, what are non-time-bound mitzvahs? Okay, we have mezuzah, makkah. Tosfos tells us that there are many that are left off, but okay, fine. And the Gemara discusses that many are left off. Fine. B'klalahu, but this is a rule. 1 minute. We have some time-bound mitzvahs that women are obligated. They are obligated in some time. How many time-bound mitzvahs are women obligated in the end? So they're exempt from how many, rabbis? So let's keep score. Seven they're exempt. How many are they obligated in? Well, simcha, matzah, they're obligated in. Matzah is special halacha. We don't have to get into it now. Whoever is included in chametz is included in matzah. So women are obligated in matzah even though it's time bound. Okay. Simchas haregel, they're obligated to be v'samach to b'chagecha. They're obligated to be misameach, which is an obligation to be misameach and yomtif. They require some sort of activity. Hakel, sukkis, after the shnas hashmita, coming to hear the kriyas haTorah of the king. So three time bound mitzvahs that women are obligated in, and there are more. That's not exhaustive either. We have matzah, simcha, hakel, kiddush on Shabbos, women are chayven, even though it's time-bound, zocha v'shama, whoever's obligated in the lois assays of Shabbos is obligated in the assays. So kiddush on Shabbos, how many are we up to now? That's four, already, what is it, seven to four, okay, so seven they're exempt from, four time-bound mitzvahs women are obligated in, kiddush, matzah, simcha, hakel, carbon pesach, women are obligated in, another time-bound mitzvah, so we're up to five already, it's getting close. Then, what do we have? Chanukah, Megillah, let's not forget those, coming up in Yom HaDiyoma. So now we're tied, 7 to 7, right? And then we have Dawud Kaisis, women are chayven, Halal to Leil HaSeder, others. It could be that there's more time-bound mitzvahs women are obligated in than time-bound mitzvahs women are exempt from. So if the reason of the Avudraham and the Kobo was so convincing, why is it women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs? Because they can't necessarily drop everything at the drop. When a mitzvah all of a sudden presents itself, it's going to throw a monkey wrench into their schedule. How are they going to manage the obligations of the household with the religious obligations of the mitzvah of Kadosh Baruch Hu? But what about all these other ones? There's more exceptions to the rule than the rule. So however they manage, when it comes to Kiddush on Shabbos, when it comes to Matzah, when it comes to Simcha, when it comes to Hakka, when it comes to Karban Pesach, when it comes to Chanukah, when it comes to Megillah, when it comes to Dawud Kaisis, they can manage. When it comes to Shofar, Lulav and Sukkah, all of a sudden now they can't manage? The Shofar is the straw that broke the camel. Why? So that's why I don't know if the argument of the Mudraham is as convincing as it might sound initially. Yeah. So if Hirsch and his Sefer on Chumash suggest a different approach, which is not apologetics at all. A very legitimate approach, which we're going to see, I believe, is actually found within the Rishonim, which is that it is because women, perhaps, have a greater commitment, enthusiasm for mitzvahs, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, perhaps a greater feeling of religious calling, and are less tempted necessarily to fall, you know, or less likely to fall prey to their temptations. Therefore, they don't need all of the mitzvahs that we have. Meaning, women might initially be functioning on a higher religious plane, and therefore don't need all of the mitzvahs that we have, which might be highlighted by the fact that women can volunteer to do these mitzvahs if they want to, because they are just as relevant to them as they are to men. At the same time, they're not obligated to do them because simply they're not necessary for women. In other words, the mitzvahs aseisha, as my grandma, that women are exempt from, or the time-bound mitzvahs that women are exempt from, is not because they can't manage their schedule. No, no. The Torah picked and chose different mitzvahs that women are exempt from. How do we know which ones they don't need to do, which ones they do need to do? You know, men need all the mitzvahs. Without them, we're lost. You know, we're a lost cause. We need them. We need them as a life preserver in this world. Otherwise, we're going to sink. The women don't necessarily need them. They want to volunteer to do them. They can do them. But they don't need them. Which mitzvahs do they need to, and which mitzvahs don't they need? So that is what the Gemara describes as a time-bound mitzvah. Time-bound mitzvahs, women, or those mitzvahs that are derived from tefillin, which is the source for the exemption of women from time-bound mitzvahs, any mitzvah that's similar to tefillin, you know, that's time-bound, women are exempt from. Not because they can't manage their schedules because of the obligations of the home that can create a conflict, but there are certain mitzvahs, technical mitzvahs, that women are exempt from. In other words, the fact that the women are exempt from time-bound mitzvah, the fact that it's time-bound, is not the reason why she's exempt. It's called a siba. Rather, Rav Gussman, who had a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael called Netzach Yisrael. It used to be this little known, unknown hole in the wall in Rechavia. Then it was 15 years ago, was rebuilt by the Baal Batim who come for the Yomim Tovim to Rechavia. So they rebuilt the yeshiva Netzach Yisrael, and it's mainly a Yom Tov minyan now. But it's right in the middle of Rechavia. So Rav Gussman was a Talmud Chaver of Reb Chaim Moser. He said Reb Chaim Moser's Beis Din before the war. During the war, he came to Eretz Yisrael. And he had a yeshiva called Netzach Yisrael. So in his sefer called Kuntzushi Siyurim on Masechtas Kiddushin, he explains that for many Rishonim it seems that the reason that the women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs is not because they're time-bound. It's not the asiba, which we say in yeshivish jargon. It's not the reason why they're exempt. It's just a simon. It's just an indicator. The fact that these mitzvahs are time-bound in a similar fashion to tefillin, this indicates those mitzvahs that women don't necessarily need to perform. But it's arbitrary. It's not because of the fact that they're time-bound, that just happens to be the indicator of those mitzvahs that women are exempt from. And he proves this point from a Rashi on Lamed Hamed Aleph. Rashi tells us, Gemara there is discussing the source for the p'tur of the exemption of women from time-bound mitzvahs. Gemara, again, as we mentioned last time, derives it from tefillin. The women are exempt from tefillin, which is connected to Talmud Torah. Women are exempt from Talmud Torah. They're exempted from tefillin. Tefillin is connected to all of the mitzvahs of Torah. So just like women are exempt from tefillin because of its connection to Talmud Torah, they're exempt from all mitzvahs similar to tefillin, any time about mitzvahs. So the Gemara in the middle of that Amud, Lamed Hamed Aleph, maybe 20 lines down, second to last word on the line is Heinicha. The Gemara asks, Heinicha l'man the Amar. This works well according to the opinion in the Gemara Maseches Menachos that tefillin mitzvah seisha is man grama. That tefillin doesn't apply at night, it doesn't apply in Shabbos and Yom Tov. But l'man the yomer, tefillin mitzvah say shaloi as man grama. There's an opinion in the Gemara that you're supposed to put tefillin on all day and all night, and even on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's machloikis in the Gemara, when is the time for tefillin? So according to the man the yomer that holds tefillin mitzvah say shaloi as man grama, it applies all the time. Ma'ikal ameimar. What are you going to say? How would we have interpreted that line? We would probably have interpreted that line without Rashi. We would have said what it means is, where's your source that women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs? It can't be from tefillin, because tefillin is not a time-bound mitzvah. So this can't serve as a source for the exemption of women from time-bound mitzvahs. That's not how Rashi learns. Rashi learns My ikalamemer, mem aleph lamed, abbreviation over there in Rashi. Im kein ibcha ikalamelaf. We should derive the opposite. What do you mean? The shalai has my grama nashim p'turais. If it's not my grama, woman should be pater. What? What? Well, any mitzvah that's not, meaning if tefillin is not time bound, you know what? Let's derive from tefillin that women are pater from all non time bound mitzvahs. What sense does that make to say that women are pater? We're looking for a source. How do you know women are exempt from time bound mitzvahs? The Sigmar says it's from tefillin. Mar says, well, maybe tefillin's not time bound. So I would have said what that means is we have no source for there, you know, for the exemption of women from time bound mitzvahs from here. That's not how Rashi learns. Rashi learns what the Gemara meant to say is that, you know what? Let's derive from here that women are pater from all non-time bound mitzvahs. So ask the Pnei Yeshuva, what sense does that make? The Pnei Yeshuva here is Gimel. Hey, Nikolaman, the Amar Tefillah mitzvah, say, she's my grandma. Alaman, the Amar mitzvah, Shalai is my grandma. Michael, the Amar, Perish Rashi, the Imkain, Ibcha, Ikolamela. We should learn out the opposite. The Abba Gab, the Ancient Svar, Loimar Kain. Pnei Yeshuva says, but that makes no sense. I understand why women are exempt from time bound mitzvahs. It's going to create a conflict. She has obligations in the home. Why should we exempt her from non time bound mitzvahs? You know what the answer is, says Rav Gusman? The answer is she's not exempt from time bound mitzvahs because they're time bound and it's going to create a conflict for her. No! This is just the Torah's way of indicating to us which mitzvahs are critical for women to perform and which mitzvahs are gratuitous. They don't need to do them. If they want to do them, they can volunteer to do them, but they don't need them as much as we do. How do we know which mitzvahs of the Torah women need to do and which they don't need to do? They want to volunteer, but they don't need to do them. How do we know? The Torah is indicating through, you know, it's teaching it to us through the prism, through the limud, through the example of tefillin. So whatever that example might be, either it's time-bound or not time-bound. It has nothing to do with the fact necessarily that it's time-bound. It's just the Torah's way of communicating to us which mitzvahs are integral, you know, are indispensable for women and which are voluntary. But it's not necessarily because they're time-bound. Again, it's not a siba, the reason why they're exempt. It's just a siman, an indicator of which mitzvahs of the Torah women are exempt from and not necessarily incumbent upon them in an obligatory sense. This is also perhaps the pshat in Rashi. Continues of Gusman, that's perhaps why Rashi feels that the exemption of women from time-bound mitzvahs is limited to mitzvahs midayraisa. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Brachos, and Chavim Abeis, the Kriya Shema, women are exempt from. So Pshita, the Gemara say, Mitzvah Seh Shezman Gromahu. Women are exempt from Kriya Shema. After all, it's a time-bound mitzvah called Mitzvah Seh Shezman Gromah Noshim Peturas. No, I might have said, Ma'od Tema Hova is B'malchus Shemayim, since at the time of Kriya Shema, B'makabo, O Malchus Shemayim, women should be Chayiv, Kamash Malan, that they're exempt. Uminat Tfilin, they're exempt from Tfilin. Pshita, that's obvious, it's time-bound. Ma'od Tema Hova Ishkishlu Mezuzah, since it's connected to Mezuzah, which is not time-bound. Kamash Malan, that would have said that they're chayav, kamash mulan, that they're potter. And then the Gemara continues. V'chayavim b'tfila. Women are obligated in davening. So look at the girsa of Tosfos. You don't know what Rashi's talking about until you see Tosfos' girsa. So Tosfos had, just like the Gemara, other Gemaras asked, pshita, Tosfos had here too, pshita. Kevan d'chsiv erev, the Gemara says, pshita, of course women are chayav in tfila. Why shouldn't they be chayav in tfila? You have to daven all day. No, pshita. So pshita, of course they're obligated. No, kevan d'siv erev avokavit sorayim. Since it said there's three tefillahs, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, one at night, I might have thought, k'mitzvah say shezman groma havi, I would have thought it's a time-bound mitzvah, kamash malon, derachmei ninu. So the Gemara asked, pshita, of course they're obligated to daven. It's all day, says the Gemara. No, maybe it's a time-bound mitzvah. Maybe tefillah is a time-bound mitzvah. Kamash Mulan, even though it's rachamim, even though it's time-bound, tefillah is rachamim, and therefore women are obligated. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, no, he does not have the girsa, loy garis pshita. He doesn't have that girsa. The halab deraisi. The only time women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs is when it's a mitzvah deraisa. Tefillah is a mitzvah midrabanan. Says Rashi. It's a big machlekes Rishonim, but Rashi assumes tefillah is midrabanan. And since tefillah is only midrabanan, of course women should be chayiv. The exemption only applies to mitzvahs deraisa and not to mitzvahs midrabanan. So Rashi changes the whole gear so that Tosfos had. You might have thought women are exempt because it's time bound, kamash mulan, that is rachamim. Rashi never would have thought they're exempt because it's time bound. Time bound exemption only applies to mitzvahs deraisa and not to mitzvahs midrabanan. So Tosfos says on Rashi, Rashi lo garis lei sharei tefillah derabanan hi umay mitzvah zaseh shaychabei. It's not a mitzvah asei shezman grama because it's only midrabbanan. And Taisus disagrees. Just like women are exempt from time by mitzvahs that are deraisa, they should be exempt from time by mitzvahs derabbanan. Why should Rashi feel that women are chayiv in time bound mitzvahs that are derabbanan? It's time bound. Why should it be different than shofar, than sukkah, than lulav? It's time bound. What do you want to say?
Maybe like Rashi would agree that it's not the siva.
Yeah.
Like the siman.
So therefore what?
Therefore, like, if it's just a siman, we just can determine that that's a siman for those in the Torah. Because like,
correct! So that's what Gusman says, you have heard exactly. He says, if the reason they're exempt is not because it's going to create mayhem in their schedule, you know, conflicts. It's rather because the Torah is just indicating to us through the prism, through the example of tefillin, those mitzvahs that are not as incumbent upon women. So that would apply to mitzvahs deraisa. Kadosh Baruch Hu is communicating to us through the example of tefillin, which mitzvahs women are exempt from. But that wouldn't apply to mitzvahs derabanan. Torah is not. How do we know that women, this is not incumbent upon women? So since the whole mitzvah is only derabanan, it's not being communicated to us directly from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We can't necessarily interpret based on the example, the paradigm of tefillin to exempt women from the mitzvah midrabanan, even though it's time bound. In other words, they're not exempt from these mitzvahs because they're time bound. It's just indicating to us which mitzvahs are similar to tefillin are not necessarily incumbent upon women. Yeah.
Why did Torah initially pick tefillin as opposed to any other mitzvah?
Good question. I don't know. It's a why question, you know. Why questions are always hard to answer. Why do we have three regalim, not four? You know, I don't know. It's a good question. Why tefillin? Right, you could have picked any other one. Obviously, there is significance to it. We could try and derive some significance, but I don't know.
I have tefillin as like the basis for the whole.
Why tefillin? Yeah, good question. Yeah.
The Torah obviously couldn't have picked a derabanan as the example. You had to pick a deraisa. So
correct.
You say that derabanans are learned.
So we don't know if this derabanan is one of those things that's critical for women or one of those things that's voluntary, but we can't derive it from tefillin that they're exempt. Because what the fact the women are exempt from tefillin and all mitzvahs similar to it is just not because they're time bound, in which case we should apply that same rule to the rabbanans. That's not why they're exempt. It's just the Torah indicating to us which mitzvahs are critical for women. But that says nothing about mitzvahs de rabbanan. Who knows? So they would presumably the default position would be that women are chayv just like men, unless we had an indication that women should be pater. This might also relate to how you define what is a mitzvah asei shezman grama. What is a time-bound mitzvah? So if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Kechavim, writes the Rambam Perek Yud Beis of Hilchos Avodas Zarah, what I think we would probably would have said on our own, that is a mitzvah that comes from time to time. V'chol mitzvah asei shehi mizman lizman. Doesn't always apply. It's not always something that's on our schedule to do. Sometimes it arises, sometimes not. Ve'ena tadira. You know, so that's going to create an undue conflict. It's not always here, so it's not budgeted into her schedule on a regular basis. It's going to create conflicts between her obligations in her home and her religious obligations. Ve'ena tadira noshim peturos. So that women are exempt. If it's a mitzvah that comes, mizman lizman. Of course, with the notable exceptions of Kiddush Hayoim, Zachar, Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshai, Matzah, Achilas HaKarban Pesach, Hakel, Simcha, all those mitzvahs, even though they're time-bound, women are obligated in, as we said already. So according to the Rambam, what's called a time-bound mitzvah? A mitzvah that is ba, mizman, lizman. Sometimes here, sometimes not. Look at Rashi, though, in Chavtes Amid Aleph. Go back to Rashi in the Mishnah of Chavtes Amid Aleph. Rashi says, women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs. What is a hazman grama, a time-bound mitzvah? Rashi says, shahazman gurim lo shatavai. Time causes it to come. That's very wordy. Time causes it to come. If he mean, it could mean, I guess you could question, he means a mitzvah that is not always present. It's sometimes here, sometimes not. It's not what he says. It's not the focus of Rashi. What does he tell us? It's something that depends on time. This is perhaps further highlighted by Taisus, Adaf Lamadal Amad Aleph. Rabbi said, turn to Taisus, Lamadal Amad Aleph. Taisus there is discussing the exemption of women from tzitzis as a time-bound mitzvah. Why is tzitzis time-bound? Why is tzitzis time-bound? Because the Pasuk says, You should see the tzitzis and remember all the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara that it only applies by day, not by night, when you can see the tzitzis. When you can't see the tzitzis, there's no mitzvah of tzitzis. It only applies by day, it doesn't apply by night. So ask Tosfos Akasha. Tosfos assumes that it's not a distinction between day and night. Here, Tema. About 10 lines up in Tosfos, 15 lines up. Heki Kashav Tzitzis, Mitzvah Aseh Shehazman Grama. How is Tzitzis considered to be a Mitzvah Aseh Shehazman Grama? Because Tosfos understands the exemption of night is not limited, is not defined by night versus day. It's defined by night garment. Pajamas are exempt from Tzitzis. Day clothes, even though you're wearing them at night, are chayv in Tzitzis. That's the sheet of Tosfos. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam's opinion is that it literally depends on day and night. If you're wearing your street clothes at night, you're exempt from tzitzis. You can wear a four-cornered garment that even though you was really not pajamas, it's meant for being worn during the day, but if it has if you're wearing it at night, you're exempt from tzitzis. The Rambam, many Rishonim understand it depends day and night. If you're wearing a four-cornered garment during the day, you're chayav. If you're wearing a four-cornered garment at night, you're potter. It doesn't matter if it's pajamas versus day clothes. Tosfos assumes no. It depends if it's day clothes versus pajamas. Day clothes are chayav in tzitzis even at night. Pajamas are patur in tzitzis, both by, even if you're wearing them during the day. Yeah.
If the parameter of, determinant factor of when tzitzis can be worn is whether or not it can be seen, I think we discussed this in Shir maybe last year, maybe this year, I don't remember, then shouldn't tzitzis be worn outside? Shouldn't be able to be seen by other people, so
we could have a whole shiur just on that topic. The Ari Akiva, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Ari that tzitzis are supposed to be worn in, but that probably refers to the beged. The beged is supposed to be worn in. The tzitzis strings are supposed to be worn out. Or isa ma'isa. The tzitzis strings are supposed to be worn out. There's a lot to say on that one topic. But how do we paskin on this issue with regards to tzitzis at night or during the day? So the Shulchan Aruch is machmer like both opinions. That the only time, therefore, you can make a bracha on tzitzis is if you're wearing a day garment during the day. But a day garment at night is a machlekes rishonim. Pajamas, a night garment during the day, machlekes rishonim. So therefore, if let's say a person takes off his tzitzis to go swimming at night, so then and he is not wearing them for half an hour, so by the time he comes back, he would have to put back on his tzitzis with a bracha. If you take them off for half an hour, you have to make a bracha again when you put it back on, even if you had in mind to put them back on. So the Mishnah Berurah therefore says you better not to put on your tzitzis at all, because you're going to put yourself into a situation of suffik brachas. Some Rishonim hold, we're machmer like both opinions. Some Rishonim hold, even though it's a day garment, but you're wearing it at night, you're putter in tzitzis. So therefore you probably shouldn't put it back on. That's why the whole minig of the Ari HaKadosh is a pelah. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Arizal another minig, not only that the talus katan should be worn in, but the tzitzis strings out, but the Mishnah Berurah also quotes from the Ari HaKadosh that you should wear tzitzis at night when you go to sleep. The problem is, and he proves it from a Gemara Menachos, because the Gemara says in Maseches Menachos and Daf Mem Gimel that one time David HaMelech was in the mikvah and he realized that he was Arim in HaMitzvahs, he had no naked for mitzvahs, and he began to become depressed. And then he remembered that he had the mitzvah of Mila. We discussed this already. He remembered that he had the mitzvah of Mila, v'nis yash v'daitai. He became calmed down. So we asked, but the mitzvah of Mila was 100 years ago. What does that help for him now? Okay, we discussed it at the time. The mitzvah of Mila continues. It's something that's a continued fulfillment. So the Ari asks, but 1 minute, what about at night? What mitzvahs did he have with him when he's sleeping? How come he only had chalish zadas when he's sitting in the mikvah? What about when he was sleeping in his bed? Why didn't he have chalish zadas then? So he says, must be because he was wearing tzitzis at night. You see, he's supposed to be wearing tzitzis at night. So the Magen Avraham asks, in Hilchos Tzitzis, what are you talking about? He had a mezuzah on his door. Why do you necessarily have to go all the way back to tzitzis? Maybe it's because he has a mezuzah on his door, so the Chassam Sofer writes in his Agos, it's on the side of Shulchan Aruch, because the mezuzah was probably on the outside of the door. And he slept with the door closed, so he couldn't see the mezuzah. Already a big discussion on the page of Shulchan Aruch. Anyway, the Ari HaKadosh, based on that diuk in the Gemara Maseches Menachos, says, must be you're supposed to sleep in tzitzis. The problem is, meman afshach, you're not mekayim anything. You're not going to sleep unless you're sleeping in the same tzitzis that you did during the day, you're going to have a night pair of tzitzis as part of your pajamas, so you're not mekayim anything. like a shluff kepel, what are you makayim with your shluff tzitzis? If it's pajamas, your putter, even if you'd wear them during the day, according to one shita and rishayim, and even according to the other shita, that it depends on day versus night. Lamai says you're wearing it at night, so what mitzvah are you makayim by wearing tzitzis every night as part of your pajamas? You're not fulfilling anything. So that's why many don't do like this practice of the Ariya Kodesh. Well, this to continue to do it, we can give it's part of that shiur and that sits us out. What's the pshat in that? I think there was shitasa, but for another time. There is something that's fulfilled, perhaps, by wearing tzitzis at night. Even if it's not the mitzvah of tzitzis, you're fulfilling an important idea. Okay, but that's the problem with Ariya Kodesh. You don't seem to be in fulfillment of the mitzvah of tzitzis according to either opinion. But getting back, so Tosfos said over here, tzitzis doesn't depend on day versus night, it depends on pajamas versus day clothing. So ask Tosfos, why is that a mitzvah say she has my grandma? If you wear day clothing 24 hours a day, you'll be chayv to your doctor who's working a 24-hour shift, you'll be chayv and tzitzis all day and all night. If as long as you wear your day clothing all the time, so then you should be chayv and tzitzis all the time. How is that a time-bound mitzvah? So look at the last four lines of Tosfos. Va'emiri, even though you're right, you could fulfill the mitzvah all the time. But time does play a role in the mitzvah. Where does time play a role in the mitzvah defining pajamas versus day clothing? So since time plays a role, shezman gurim levishasa bayoim yesh lechashiv zman grama shezman levishasa gurim achiv. When you wear these garments is what determines whether or not you're chayv and tzitzis in these garments. So again, for Tosfos, it sounds like Rashi. It's not that the mitzvah comes from time to time and it's going to create throw a monkey wrench into her schedule. Like the Avud Raham, she won't be able to manage everything, therefore the Torah exempted her from time-bound mitzvahs. No, it sounds like it's more nuanced than that. We're simply deriving from tefillin. And just like by tefillin, time plays a role in terms of when you're obligated in tefillin, when you're not. So to any mitzvah, that time plays a role. Not because it's going to throw a monkey wrench into her schedule, because that's similar to tefillin in the paradigm, the example that women are, a mitzvah that women are exempt from. And therefore, anything that's similar to tefillin, women would be exempt from, as long as time plays a role. So tzitzis, even though, according to Tosfos, you can fulfill tzitzis 24 hours a day if you're wearing day garments, time does play a role in determining and differentiating between day garments versus pajamas. We find this idea as well, and Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes this idea, same idea from the Shagas Aryeh, in a Mishnah Maseches Bikurim. The Mishnah Maseches Bikurim, a Perek Aleph Mishnah Hay, tells us that women are chayvin bringing Bikurim. Rabbi said, when can you bring Bikurim? Only from Shavuos through Chanukah. Only from Shavuos through Chanukah. Why? Because the Pasuk says, that you're supposed to bring Bikurim from the fruits that are on the fields. When are the fruits on the fields? Between Shavuos and Chanukah. So is that a time-bound mitzvah or not a time-bound mitzvah? Yeah. Sounds like a time-bound mitzvah, but yet the Mishnah tells us Masechtas Bikurim. Women are chayv to bring Bikurim. They don't do Mikra Bikurim. They don't read the accompanying text, the proclamation, because the part of the proclamation is, you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the land, Asher Nasata Li Hashem. Women don't have a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. But if they have their own new fruits, they would bring them to Yerushalayim without the proclamation. So he asked Rabbi Akiva Eger in his comments on the Mishnayos, V'hudaloi havi mitzvah seishas man grama, should have been a time-bound mitzvah, women should have been exempt. Why not? So he says, the hazman havaz bikurim humin achag v'ad Chanukah, is from Shavuos through Chanukah. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, the davka mitzvah she'ena noig b'chol zman mitzar atzmoi. It's only if it depends on time. But if it depends on something else, which in turn depends on time, even though it's something that doesn't always exist, it comes from time to time, but it doesn't depend on time, like tefillin. It rather depends on something else, which in turn depends on time. Women are chayiv. She'ena noy b'chol zman mitzar atzmoi, zeo mikri zman grama. Aval hodim in Chanukah ve'eilach eino mevi, eino mitzar atzmoi. It's not because the mitzvah is limited by time. Sho'yomim she'garim she'enu b'nei hava, el dava acha garim lehem. There's a different factor here. Shein Mitsuyin al Pnei HaSadah. The only time you're obligated to bring Bikurim is when the fruits are found on the face of the field. Here they aren't. V'iu ha'im Mitsuyin. But if they would be al Pnei HaSadah ha'yomim me'ava, you would be obligated to bring Bikurim. So even though in a practical sense you're right, it comes from time to time. It's hard for women to budget into the schedules. It doesn't depend on that. it's really not about the fact that woman has another obligation, so she can't balance it all. No, what it's about is, not like the Avudraham, what it's about is, like Rav Hirsch told us, it's just an example, you know, it's a simon, an indicator of which mitzvahs are not integral, or not incumbent, you know, obligatory for women. Each one will have its own reason, therefore, it's only if they're similar to tefillin, then it's an indicator that women are not obligated in that mitzvah. And tefillin depends directly on time. Time causes you to be chayiv versus potter. You're chayiv in tefillin during the day, not at night. So too, it's only a mitzvah that depends directly on time, similar to tefillin. Or that seems to be, that's the way they learn in the yeshivas, the pshat in this Ramban. The Ramban writes over here on the bottom of the Gemara, Lama Gimel Mebeis, where the Gemara is listening for us, which are mitzvah sasesha as man grama, that women are potter, which are mitzvah sasesha as man grama, that women are chayiv. So the Ramban says, one of the mitzvah sasesha as man grama that's not mentioned by the Gemara, but women are indeed chayiv in that mitzvah, is sfiras ha'omer. Look at the second line in the Ramban, of a mitzvah sasesha ain't as man grama, a mitzvah say that's not time bound. I'm sorry. A mitzvah say that's not time bound. The women are chayiv in is ma'ir v'kibud, you know, honoring your parents. Bikurim is not a time bound mitzvah. Again, we just asked, but it's only from Shavuos to Chanukah, so we explained why it's not time bound because it doesn't depend directly on time. It depends on when the fruits are found in the field. V'chala kisui adam, reishis hageiz, cutting off the first shearings from the sheep. Matanis, you know, Truma and Meiser, and Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer is not a time-bound mitzvah. The Rambam disagrees, Sfiras HaOmer is a time-bound mitzvah. The Sefer Chinuch disagrees, woman is Sfiras HaOmer is a time-bound mitzvah. In fact, in Mishnah Berurah, he says, recommends women not to count Sfiras HaOmer because they're going to forget, and then they'll have a problem with Brachas Levatola. So most assume Sfiras HaOmer is a time-bound mitzvah, and in fact, women are exempt. The Ramban calls it not a time-bound mitzvah. How could it not be time-bound? When are you chayiv in Sfiras HaOmer? Only on the second day of Pesach, from the time of the bringing of the carbon HaOmer. Miyom Havia Chemes HaOmer. Tisbu Chamishim Yom. You're supposed to count 50 days, 49 days, from the time of the bringing of the carbon HaOmer on the second day of Pesach. How could it not be time bound? So the Achrayim explained within the Ramban, and later they found it in the Rishonim from the Maram Chalava, who explained the same idea, because Sfiras HaOmer doesn't depend on time. What does it depend on? What does it depend on? Carbon HaOmer. Carbon HaOmer depends on time. But Sfiras HaOmer doesn't depend directly on time. So since it doesn't depend directly on time, it's not similar to tefillin. Again, it's not about the fact that since it depends on time, that's, you know, it's a mitzvah that comes from time to time, that's why women are exempt, it's going to disrupt their schedule. No. It's because it's an, whatever similar to tefillin is an indication that it's a mitzvah women's not incumbent upon women. But Sfiras HaOmer is not similar to tefillin. Tefillin depends directly on time. Sfiras HaOmer doesn't. Sfiras HaOmer depends on the carbon HaOmer, which in turn depends on time. Rav Chaim said that's the answer to Tosis's question of Chavtesim et Aleph. Go back to that Tosis about Mila. Why do we need Exeris HaKasim to exempt women from Mila? Isn't it time-bound? So look over here in the Chidushim of Rav Chaim, a Masechtas Chidushim. Used to be found in a collection of Brisker Torah that was Mipi HaShmua. It was collected in the new Chidushi Agrah. So, Reb Chaim explains, Uluchayra Kasha Ma Hikshu. He says, I don't even understand what Tosfos meant to say that it's a time-bound mitzvah. Mila is not time-bound. Dehada havi mila b'yom hashmini ein zeh mishum debizman talya milsa. It doesn't depend on time. Ela talya beguf havlad. It depends when the child is 8 days old. In vlad pachas mizenimo. The child has to be 8 days old. But it doesn't depend directly on time, meaning you could do a Mila 365 days out of the year. Mila you could do any day, just not on this child. This child has to be 8 days old. V'mhaya mitzius loymar. It's such a brisker thing to say, but he said if you could have a child who's 8 days old without being 8 days old. Only in the world of brisk. V'mhaya mitzius loymar. If there was a possibility to say, shi'i avlad ben shmoneh yamim, b'li shi'yavru shmoneh yamim. If he could be 8 days old without going through 8 days, he could be born 8 days old. Gam ken hayanimo. He could perform Mila right away. And Reb Chaim has such a fantastic argument. He says, otherwise, every mitzvah is time bound. You know why? You only chayiv when? When you become 13 years old. Oh, so every mitzvah 12 years old. Every mitzvah is time bound. You weren't chayiv when you were katan, now you're chayiv. So it must be, it's only those mitzvahs that depend directly on time. not a mitzvah that comes mizman lezman. Mila does not apply every day. It's only when a child is 8 days old, a child is born. It sounds like a mitzvah that comes mizman lezman. That's how the Rambam would have understood. That's how why Tosfos asked, isn't a mitzvah seisha is my grandma? Classical mitzvah seisha is my grandma, says Reb Chaim, no. What the mitzvah seisha is my grandma means like what Rashi told us, that the zman is gurim la shetava. It depends on time, like tefillin. Then women are exempt. One final example where perhaps you see this concept is a famous comment from Rabbi Shlomo Kluger. Shlomo Kluger has comments on the Shulchan Aruch called Chochma Shlomo. So he's discussing the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana. So the Magen Avraham writes, he quotes that Magen Avraham, why don't women fulfill Kiddush Levana? I am a Magen Avraham, Shekasev, the Birkas HaLevana, V'mitzvah Seisha, Zman Grama, V'nashim Peturos. You can only make Kiddush Levana during the beginning of the month, while the moon is getting bigger. Once the 15th of the month arrives, or 15 days after the Moilad, so then you can no longer recite Kiddush Levana. It has to be the beginning of the month. So that sounds like a time-bound mitzvah. So women are exempt, says the Magen Avraham, women are exempt, and the Magen Avraham even goes further to say women shouldn't do it. Even though they volunteer other mitzvahs, why shouldn't they do this one? Anybody remember we discussed it? Why shouldn't they do this one? Because the only time they can volunteer is if there's an action involved. If the whole mitzvah is just a bracha, then they can't volunteer to do it. So Magen Avraham says, not only are they potter, they shouldn't even volunteer to do it. So says the Chochma Shlomo, no. Uladati zehu tamua ma'od. Ve'ein lo inyan b'matzah o sukkah o lulav. It's not similar to matzah, sukkah, and lulav. Those depend on the 15th day of Nisan, the 15th day of Tishrei. This is not a mitzvah seisha z'man grama. The mitzvah zu efshel l'skayim b'cheshven k'moy b'tishrei v'iyar. This could be, you can perform it whenever. It depends on when is the moon new. Whenever it's a new moon, as long as it's new, not old, whenever it's a new moon, so that's called mitzvah, then you're chayv to do Kiddush Levana. Whenever there could be a new moon, so as a, in a, you know, brisker world, if you would say, if it could be a new moon at the end of the month, you'd be chayv to bench Kiddush Levana. It has nothing to do with the beginning, you know, with the time. It depends on the new moon. The new moon is only, you know, once in a while. But that's not what triggers the mitzvah. What triggers the mitzvah is a new moon. So therefore, says Shlomo Kluger, that it shouldn't be considered to be a time-bound mitzvah, again, because it doesn't depend directly on time, it depends on a new moon. Anyway, what I think all of these things are indicating is that, not like the Avudraham, all of these arguments of the Achrayim, that if the mitzvah, even though it comes from time to time, but it doesn't depend directly on time, it's the women are chayef. Why? If the reason was like the Avudraham, that it's because she's not going to manage, she's going to have conflicts. New mitzvah arose. How is she going to manage that with her household responsibilities? So that's why the Torah exempted her. If that would be the case, it doesn't matter if it depends directly on time or not. Any mitzvah that arises, that disrupts her schedule, she should be exempt from. Kiddush Levana, Mila, Sfiras HaEmer, Bikurim. Rather, I think all of these Achrayim that are arguing, and Rishayim, that it has to be a mitzvah that depends directly on time, not in another factor that in turn depends on time, is because, again, it's all what's similar to tefillin. Because it's not a siba, it's not the reason why women are exempt, is because it's time-bound. It's just the Torah's way of indicating to us which mitzvahs are not necessary for women to perform. It's only, they're not obligatory, it's only voluntary. Because, again, perhaps like Rav Hirsch said, they don't need all of the mitzvahs. We need all of them in order to survive religiously. The women perhaps don't even need all of them. If they want to, they can perform them, they can volunteer. They're not necessary for them. And the way the Torah indicated to us which mitzvahs are not necessary for women to perform is through the lens, through the prism, through the example of tefillin. So therefore it has to be similar to tefillin. And just like tefillin is the time causes the mitzvah to arrive, so to the those that are derived from tefillin has to be that depends directly on time. Okay, Yishkoyach.